this morning. And I think we got down, where was it? Romans, thank God for the book of Romans. Thank God for Romans chapter 10. And when we started out this book of Romans, we said, you know, there's a Romans road that we can go through. And can you imagine not having the book of Romans to tell us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, with the mouth his confession is made on salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We talked about that, not being ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed what the Lord's done. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich on all who call upon him. So when it comes, it says there's no difference when it comes to salvation. When it comes to salvation, there's no difference. And when it comes to, you know, whosoever will, let him come. The Bible tells us to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. And then the Bible says there are three people in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians. It's the Jew, the Church of God, and then, you know, you got the Gentile, which is lost, but you got the Church of God. And we went through that, I guess, a couple weeks ago. It says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich on all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That right there doesn't, you know, whosoever will. We're not Calvinists. We don't believe in Calvinism. We don't believe that, you know, I realize God knows who's going to go to heaven, who's going to go to hell. God knows that. Only God knows that. Just think if God gave us a chart and we could walk around and we had a chart and every time we walked by somebody, they say, oh, they're going to hell. No, they're lost. They're going to hell. No sense to try to talk to them. They're going to heaven. Okay, hey, bro, they'll get saved. God doesn't give us a chart like that. And he tells us to witness, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our job is to go and witness to everybody. It makes a little difference who they are. God knows who's going to get saved and who ain't. We're not, like I said, we're not Calvinists. The Bible says God's not a Calvinist. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to get saved. But is everybody going to get saved? No, they're not. God knows who's going to get saved, and God knows who's not, and it's foreknowledge. We don't know that. We don't have the option of knowing that. Like I said, I wish I did, but I don't. And if I did, that would be wrong for me to know that. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad somebody didn't stop and with me when it came down to the bad and the ugly and all the rest. They didn't stop. And if only good-looking people got to go to heaven, we'd all be in trouble. What would be the class of good looking? What would be who would judge that? And yeah, Dave said he would go. But it says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says, for how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then it goes on down, how shall they preach except they be sent? As written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And if you're taking the word of God, the Bible says your feet, if you're carrying the word of God with you, and it says your feet's beautiful. You might have toes all crooked and all messed up, hang nails in your toes and whatever else. And you might take your shoes off and go, like, oh, my Lord. Cheese in the between your toes, but still it says if you're carrying the word of God, your feet are beautiful. Amen. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, "The Lord, who have believed our report?" So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we talked about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you and I on a daily basis ought to be increasing our faith. We ought to be growing in faith. And Jesus said to his disciples, oh, you have little faith. I don't want the Lord, I get to heaven, the Lord said, oh, you have little faith. Boy, you never grew. You never tried. We see, you know, people that never try to get closer to God. They're satisfied in their condition where they're at, and that's it. They're satisfied. I don't want to be satisfied in that condition. I want to get closer. And to get closer, I remember Doc told us this from Bible school. He said, the closer you get to God, the closer you're going to get to the devil. And yeah, I remember sitting there thinking, what does he mean by that? The closer you get to God, the closer you're going to get to the devil. And what he meant was, the devil takes notice when you're getting closer and you're desiring to get closer to God. He's trying to run interference. He tries to run interference so you can't get close to God. And he'll try to stop you. He'll try, your Bible says, those man's, and sometimes his foes are them of his own household. Amen. Your own household, sometimes the devil will try to use. Your children, your kids, your wife, your husband. And when a woman tries to get close to God, it seems like her husband will be running interference. And because he's worried about if she gets close. Now, I remember Judy Theros one time, she said this. She said, when she finally got saved and everything, her husband was glad because he thought, oh, she'll be more obedient now. Hallelujah. He said, because she wasn't too obedient before. And that's not the reason why a person gets saved. I mean, husband and wife. Women, you ought to be, you know, submissive to your husband, but the husband ought to be submissive to the wife in the sense of, you know, listening to her and not being a dictator. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, the Lord's not that way. The Lord's not that way when it comes to his church. He loves his church. He by example, he leads the church. He doesn't beat the church. And but it says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, one day, now the gospel is going around the world. But the truth of the gospel, how to get saved, is going around the world. But lies travel 10 times faster. Amen. Lies always do. And how to get saved, and 10 times faster, man. Lies always travel 10 times faster than the truth. And it says, I say, how have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, one day, during the tribulation period, they're going to hear a gospel, but that's not going to be the gospel of the grace of God. You and I have the gospel of the grace of God. And I believe the time of the Gentiles is running out. It's running out when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. But it's going to come a time, and we went through this too here, that salvation is not the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. And in the tribulation period, it's not the same. Now, some people teach it's the same all the way through. It's not. It can't be. It can't be. No way possible. In the tribulation period, the 7 years right here, ain't no way possible. You know, you say, they get saved by faith. Well, faith is involved. But they have to keep, you know, they have to endure to the end, man. It's a work thing. It's a faith plus works thing. And they have to endure to the end. He says, he that endureth the end, the same shall be saved. Over in Matthew chapter 23, or 24. Take your Bible, look in Matthew 24. It's going to be a work thing. So, if you want to see people saved now, you better get on the ball. You want to see your family saved. You want to see them come to know Jesus Christ, your children, grandchildren. You get on the ball. And Jesus talked about the tribulation period here. And verse 12 of Matthew 24 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We can see that going on right now. People getting colder and colder towards the word of God. The millennial generation, they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. You find few searching, but then you'll find them here and there. You just got to keep searching. And they getting cold or to the word of God. Even Christians sitting in church, we got cold to the word of God. We have our Bible in hand, and we take it for granted, really. We said, well, it's always going to be there. Everything's going to be the same. Always, everything's going to be the same. It ain't going to be the same. And one day, it's going to happen overnight, I believe. It'll happen overnight. Things will change. And I'm not trying to be a doomsday type of thing. I'm just saying it's going to come. And you know what? In the twinkling of an eye and the last trump, and the trump of God shall sound, and the rapture takes place, it's going to change right then. And it's going to come in like a thief in the night. And people that's left behind after the rapture, they're going to have to endure to the end. They're going to say, what do I do? My mom told me, my father told me, my grandfather told me how to get saved, but Jesus, I believe on you. But it's going too late. They ain't going to get raptured out then. Rapture's already taking place. And then there's a mid-tribulation rapture. We went through that on Wednesday night. And it says in verse 12, but because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, it tells you the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. What gospel do we preach now? We're preaching the gospel of the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if a person doesn't get saved now and the rapture takes place, they're going to have to endure the end. They're going to have to, man, they're going to have to go through, you know, not receive the mark of the beast. If they receive the mark of the beast, and right now, everything's prepared for the mark of the beast. Everything. It's prepared for it. They've got every chip. They got chips for, I've told you, I've watched a thing on the news, Fox News, where they were interviewing a woman in England, and she was saying, the English, the Europeans, their idea, she said, why are the Europeans allowing these Muslims to come in, even though they're all this stuff raping and just destruction and all that, and they're trying to pass Sharia law and all that stuff. She said, the reason why the Europeans got the thing in their mind that we need, like Star Trek, got the One World Confederation. And if we can just get everybody together, then it won't be no more wars. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking, if we can get everybody can get together, we can all get along, and we can intermingle like Genesis 10. That Genesis 10, they said, if you read it, God came down. They were building them a mountain. They said, let's get up to heaven. And they all worked together, all same language. And they were building, and then God came down and then, good night. And same thing. That's what they're trying to do right now. The elite of the world thinks the way we need to get together is just let everybody intermingle, everything go together, and then that way we'll get to know each other better, and that way there won't be no world war. They leave God out. They leave all that out. You know, for us as Christians, we say, okay, you want to solve the problems of the world? Preach Jesus Christ to them. That's how we can solve them. And they're not going to believe. They're not going to receive. They're going to reject. And the time of the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles, thank God we got in on salvation. Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 13. We got in on salvation. Now, if you know your Bible, you'll know salvation was to the Jew first. And Jesus told in Matthew, he said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you and I got in on this thing. We got in because the Jews rejected it. And now the Gentiles are starting to reject. They're rejecting. Well, actually, they haven't started. They've done it. They've rejected the gospel. We got kids being raised in America that's supposed to be a Christian nation. And Barack Obama said, you know, America's not a Christian nation. And that made me mad. But he was telling the truth. We're not a Christian nation anymore.
That's right.
And now you see that on the news, you say, man, the world's going crazy. They want to tear down any statue of any past history. You look at Columbus, they want to tear that down. They want to tear down George Washington. They want anything, just anything about our past. And a preacher said this, he said, if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going.
Man.
So they said, we just want to do away with the past and forget about it, which the Bible tells you to forget the past, but move on. But, you know, you need to thank God where you came from. And Acts chapter 13, look at verse 42. It says, and when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles brought or besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Look down at 46. And it says, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking about the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So hath the Lord commanded, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. If you want to get something moving, buddy, you get the women moving. You get the women stirred up. And back in the day when the liquor traffic and all that stuff, the men wouldn't shut it down, but the women did. They got it going. They stirred it up. Isn't it something that I think somebody told me the other day, Rush Limbaugh said, women in this country got more power than any other country in the world. And who was it that told me that? Was it? He said this. He said, Rush Limbaugh said, for a guy to get down on his knees and say, I protest the pledge allegiance to the flag, and he said, nobody said nothing, but, you know, and then now, when Trump said something about it, they all went against the president and said, okay, then we're all going to do it. We're going to do it, and we're going to spite him, spite our country and everything else. But when Cam Newton said something jokingly about a woman, he had to get on national television and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He said, you're talking about the power of women. Ladies, you got power. And if a woman can take the power that God's given, you know, where, and even in this country they have, and use it for God's glory, my. Yeah, a woman started the thing with getting the Bible out of school, prayer out of school. A woman. And a woman can destroy a marriage. She can tear it to pieces. You say a man can too, but a woman can hold the kids together. If she's a good woman, she can hold the children together. A man can't like that. Not very often. But Gentiles, ain't that something? And when a guy pointed that out to me about Cam Newton had to get on national television, just for joking, and had apologized. That show you, and he said, that shows you the power of women. And ladies, devout women stirred it up. And women marched on the street against liquor and went in there and busted the windows and broke the glasses and then all that. And men just went, whoa. And you know what God will do? God won't find a man to do something, he'll use a woman. And you think about this. The last end of a church, usually when a church dies, who sits in there? A bunch of women. They stand with it. So ladies, if you guys got really stirred up to do something for God, it'll get done. And you know what? And I'm not a fool to get up here and say, oh, we don't need no women in our church. It'd be like me taking a knife going. Yeah, who would do? Really? So men, thank God for the women. Good women. They want to serve God. Thank God for them. And if you guys get, like a preacher said one time, Jack Woods used to say this. He said, man, I'm going to tell you what, boys. You got a good woman, you can run through hell with a can of gasoline shouting glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah, if you got a good woman, thank God for her. Amen. Treat her right. Amen. I treat my wife right. Where's she at? I like to tease her. But, look at Acts chapter 15, verse 3. Acts 3 and 15:3, excuse me. And look what it says. Talking about the Gentiles. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Venice, is that right? And Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, that they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But it says, there arose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses, and so on. But I wanted you to see that go to chapter 18 about the Gentiles. And that's where we got in. So the next chapter of chapter 10 of Romans, the next chapter tells you about us Gentiles. It tells us how we got in on the grace of God. Look at Acts 18, verse 6. And it says, and when they were opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook off his raiment and said unto them, your blood is upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. So that's Paul saying that, because the Jews went crazy and talking about, you know, you got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law of Moses. You got to do all that. And Paul shook, he says, they opposed himself and blasphemed. He took his raiment, shook his raiment, said on them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I go on to the Gentiles. So go back to Romans chapter 10. You go to Romans 10 and then look at Romans 11. Then you're moving into the Gentiles. and Paul's preaching and saying this is what happened. He says, is God done with the Jews? No. So then you got this crowd teaching that God's completely done with the Jews. The Jews are not, they're not going to get saved. We're tipped their place, which is a lie. We've never taken the place of a Jew. Now, we're spiritual Jews, and when it comes to faith concerning Abraham. Now, go back to Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Jews, it was hard for them to comprehend everything just by faith. And for us Gentiles, that's where we're supposed to live. In the church age, we're supposed to live by faith, we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. And our life, if we're going to please God in this life, in this dispensation, it's going to have to be by faith. Everything's by faith. You say, well, I'm just going to quit my job and just sit at home and wait for God to provide my food by faith. No, that's not what you're talking about. Faith is exercised. Faith every day. You got to work a job. You got to have a job by faith. You do your job. And by faith every day, you're growing. Every day you get in the Word of God. You start reading the Word of God. You get stronger. Everything we do should be, say, okay, God, I'm trusting you. My faith is in you, not in the job. My faith is not in the economy. My faith is not in the president. My faith is not in this brother or that brother or this sister or that sister. My faith is in you and you alone. And so that's what you got to do. So verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them of no people, that are no people. You know what the Bible said? You're no people. He provoked the Jews. God provoked the Jews by us. And the Jews don't want to hear nothing about Jesus Christ. He's an imposter. They say Jesus Christ is not God. He's an imposter. God says, I'll provoke you. I'll provoke you through these people that are no people. Because the Jews bragged about it. See, when Jesus showed up, disciples, they said, even the poorest disciples were proud. They were Jews. They said, we're God's chosen people. We're the only ones. We're the ones. And they kept saying to Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom now? You going to take the kingdom now? Are you going to destroy all them? That's why Peter thought, well, let's start the fight. Let's start it. And Jesus said, no, put your sword up. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. And so they thought, okay, Lord, you going to restore the kingdom? And to be able to think about him being crucified, they said, no, that can't happen. They're looking back at David, a mighty king, a mighty kingdom. That's what we're going to do, right? No. Jesus said, listen, New Testament. We're going to start new. It's by faith. So the kingdom is taken by faith, not by force. And we're doing a pretty bad job. Our faith is weak. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. So what happens as Christians, we're not growing in faith. We're so busy. We're looking at this. We're doing that. We're studying, the internet. We got this going on, that going on. And we want to know more about technology because we don't look like stupid. And we, but when it comes to the Word of God, we do look stupid. Amen. I want to know more of the Word of God. Amen. And it says, by a foolish nation, I will anger you. Look at verse 19. But he said, not Israel, no. First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that have no people, but by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I have found of them that sought me not. I have made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long, I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All day long, God said, come on to me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. And the Bible says Jesus went to Jerusalem, and he stood there, and he looked over Jerusalem, and he wept because he knew what was going to happen. Man, I'm looking at this. I'm thinking what he went to Israel. I want him to look at my life. I don't want him to stand there on top of a mountain looking down at my family and my family history or my kindred, my heritage, and weep because I didn't do my job. And you didn't do your job. So there's got to be a consistency in a Christian's life. You got to be consistent in the way you live. You got to be consistent in what you believe. I see Christians in this church. I've been here 30-some years, 31, going on 31 years. I see Christians like this, man, and no consistency. Just no consistency. You got to be consistent. And it's hard. You say, oh, preacher, it's hard. I know. I know it's hard. Growing in grace and faith and man, it's tough at times. I mean, there's times where you just, man, feel like you're walking on water. But then there's times you feel like you're sinking and you're drowning. And you got to, man, you just got to be, try to be consistent in your walk. Don't go up and down, go up all around. People say, look at that. That's what a Christian is. I'm just as good as he is. I'm just as good as they are. You got to be consistent in your fellowship with the Lord. Say, not every, you say, is everybody 100%? No, I can't say everybody's 100%. But I tell you, we can strive for it. And the Lord says, I used them to provoke. I used these people that are no people. And what we did, we got in on something big. Here we are. You know what we are? We're nobodies. We're nobodies. And God allowed us. If you can keep that in the back of your mind, here I am, a nobody that God allowed to get in on something big. And it's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to be in church. It's a privilege to pass out a tract. It's a privilege. If you look at it as a privilege that God allows you to serve him, instead of saying it's a grudgery or it's a thing I got to do, you know, it's my duty. I got to do it anyway. And I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it with joy. Why? Then you have a reward. So it says, but to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hand onto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know, the Lord's still doing that. He's doing that to his children. He's got his hands out. Come unto me, all ye labor, heavy laden. You got a loved one that's we got so many people that's going astray. We got so many people that we've seen saved. Brother Squiggy's been here a long time. Miss Nunn, Brother Ron. A lot of y'all have been here years and years. We've seen people get saved, man, over and over. I mean, seen people, hundreds and hundreds of people. If we had them all, my Lord. But what we do, when Wednesday night we get together, Wednesday night's the lowest crowd. And Wednesday night you get together and you pray. And you pray for people to get back in. You pray for people to get right. And I realize that you say, do you get mad? No, I don't get mad at them. I don't get mad at people. What I realize is that the world, the flesh, and the devil is their enemy. And they haven't learned how to fight. And they haven't learned how to stand on their own two feet. And that's where we pray. God, help them to learn. Help them to get desire it. Help them to have a hunger for it. Help them to get in the Word of God. Help. And our job is to be consistent so they can see, have an example to follow. Our children need an example. Say, well, my children are going astray. Well, you stay the course. What happened? God, they'll look back and say, Mom and Dad, they never gave up. That boy was telling us yesterday at 37 years old, he said, I remember watching my grandfather and my mom and dad. He said, I want to be just like them. Even though he's 37 years old now. He said, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, they're not depart from it. God will bring them back if they go astray. But they don't have to go astray. But a lot of times children go astray because they see inconsistencies in our life. Or we get so hard on one thing, we get too weak over here on another thing, and we're not, you know, we're unbalanced. You got to have a balance in this Christian life. You got to have a Christian, you know, I mean, you better be balanced. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to God. I've seen guys that were preachers, they were so hard on their kids, they drove their kids out of the house. Drove them right out. Kids didn't want nothing to do with what the daddy had, mama had. They didn't want nothing to do with it. Some of them was just so weak on things. They were so weak and they didn't take a stand for nothing. And those kids just thought, I'll just go the way I want to go. So you can be, you say, well, be right down the middle, man. I'm not talking about straddling the fence. I'm talking about being balanced, a balance. So Romans chapter 11, he starts out, and we're going to stop right there. He says, I say then, have God cast away his people? This question mark. God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, but God have not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Notice, you need to underline that, foreknowledge, foreknew. God foreknows who's going to be saved. It's not like Calvin's system. Calvin said, oh, they're predestinated to die and go to hell. God said that they're going to go to hell no matter if they like it or not. Calvin made God unjust. Yeah, Calvin made God, he made God like a big unjust bully. And God's not that way. And now, but God's not, on the other hand, God's not up there just a big kiss like Santa Claus. He's not up there saying, oh, it's all right. It's all right. Come on. He's not that way either. God's holy and righteous. So you got to have a balance. Amen. We'll stop right there. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for being so good to us. My Father, thank you for allowing us to hear the gospel and believing. You said you put in every man a measure of faith.